Everything good for you? What are you doing?
Same
thing. Is it raining outside? When are you gonna, what are you gonna do that drive? The clothing drive. Okay. It's also Breast Cancer Month. That would be good. I gave Pastor Steve's jacket, one of his long black coats, to my son. He loves it. Well, Texas, it gets cold.
Like they can all wear each other's clothes.
Oh my God, size zero. I've never been size zero. I have sixes and fours. Switch, and then they've got new clothes. And they got new clothes. You don't even have to go shopping. And she's wanted to have some kind of clothing drive. At first, she wants the girls to get together and take each other's clothes that they want and switch.
There you go.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I can do that. I love clothes. I love clothes.
Come on, hallelujah! It's time for church! Thank you and welcome to Ascend Church. We welcome you to stand with us as we worship this morning. For those of you watching online, welcome. And we ask you to worship with us as well. Your living room, your kitchen, wherever you are, your car. Come on, somebody give him praise. And I dare you to shout it out right now before one note. Come on.
We want the glory of the Lord to rise in this place, to silence all of our enemies, and we want him to be lifted up. Let's go.
Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Say, let it arise. Let praise arise. Sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and claim your victory. Let it arise.
break down every wall. We'll watch the giant fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever live tonight. With all creation, God, now we praise you.
Faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let praise arise.
We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giant fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God we pray.
Break it down for me. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we come on and help me sing.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. What living looks like. This is what freedom feels like.
Come on.
This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God,
we'll see you break down.
We see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall.
Come on.
Fear cannot survive when we pray.
The God of breakthroughs,
the God of breakthroughs on our side.
Forever lift them high.
Forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you.
We praise him, we honor him, and we speak the name of Jesus over any situation, any problem, because we know there's power in the name above all names, the name over cancer, the name over diabetes, the name over depression, the name over anxiety, the name over mediocrity. You lead us into prosperity and in health. It's by your name. And we worship that great name.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name every stronghold, shine through the shadow, burn like a fire.
Sing it out.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soil captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is healing. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Okay. Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, oh, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shadows burn like a fire.
Come on and praise God this morning of all of your anxieties and all depression, all your fears, and ask for forgiveness on everything.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness of every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, 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 oh. Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain,
Jesus in the street,
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. 'Cause your name is power.
Your name is healing. Your name is life. To break every stronghold.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Sing this part with me.
Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Yes, it is. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Somebody shout out the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We worship you in this place, God. We thank you for your anointing. You are welcome here. And this house shall be known as a house of miracles. Okay, somebody, we're going to have so many testimonies in this place. So many testimonies of the goodness and greatness of our God, the healing, the power of our God, the deliverance of our God. Come on. Let's sing about it.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see that.
Still working.
Yes, God.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are
here for you.
Come and do what you do. Set our hearts.
Miracles happen when you move.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts for you. Come and do what you do.
Somebody declare, this is the move.
This is the move. This is a move. This is a move.
I feel somebody in this room needs to declare this again. You've been facing something that seems impossible. And you know, it looks impossible. But with God, all things are possible. We're gonna declare, we're gonna prophesy, we're gonna speak that thing into existence in the authority of Jesus. Come on, somebody sing with me, miracles.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move.
See, that situation changes, you declare. Hey, miracles.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is
we be careful when you call for a move of the Holy Spirit, because you say, come and do what you do. But some of us don't like what the Holy Spirit does. We think we like it if it's in a tight, neat package, a dignified package that suits our sensibilities. But the Holy Spirit does what he does, and he does it in the way that he does it. And it doesn't always suit our personality, and it doesn't always suit our comfort level, says the Lord. But if you want me to move amongst you, then you need to open your hearts to me, because the Holy Spirit is moving in this place, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit is moving in this place, and if you allow him to do what he does, the way that he does it, you'll see a miracle start to take place. Some of you have been trusting for a miracle in your body. Some of you have been trusting for a miracle in your family. And you've prayed. Some of you have even fasted. But you haven't yet seen the result. It's because you have to have a yielding to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, come and do what you do in the way that you do it. So if you think that I feel comfortable standing and shaking in the presence of God, I don't. But I don't care. Because let him do what he does, how he does it. Let him do what he does, how he does it. Because when he's going to bring a miracle, or when he's going to bring a deliverance, he's going to do it in a way that is supernatural. It is a supernatural breaking of chains off of your life. So if you want a supernatural breaking of chains off of your family and off of your body, lift your hands in this place. Father, right now, I speak miracles. I speak deliverance. I speak healing. Right now, we command all cancer to bow to the name of Jesus. We command all depression and anxiety to go from this place, never to return. Father, we pray for a stirring in the hearts of your people, for the power and the presence of God like never before. We ask for a fire to be lit on the inside of each one, that they be like the believers on the day of Pentecost, when it was like tongues of fire set upon them, and it mobilized them. It mobilized them to become a powerful church. It mobilized them to walk where Peter's shadow caused the sick to be healed. Where a lame man, just by encountering the disciples, jumped up off of the floor and was healed from his paralysis. Let a fire burn in the hearts of your people. If you say, Lord, come and do what you do, we want to see a move, you better be ready to let him move. You better be ready to put your hand on the sick and see them recover. You better be ready to open your mouth and speak the name of Jesus over darkness, over situations that you couldn't handle, that people can't get an answer for. But when you speak the name of Jesus, strongholds will fall, says the Lord. Strongholds will fall, never to return. Do you understand? Just bring it down a little. Do you understand the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if you sing it flippantly, we need a move. Come and do what you do. If we sing it flippantly and we don't really want it, we won't see a move. But if we cry out and if we facilitate the move of God, there's no telling what he can do amongst us. There's no telling the miracles that you will see, says the Lord. For this roof will come up for the power of God to flow amongst you, for the sick to be healed, for the dead to be raised, for miracles and signs and wonders. We want you to move, Holy Spirit. We don't care about doing things the right way. We don't care about offending some. For your sake, you do what you do, the way you do it, the way you want to do it. You've set us free. You move the way you want to move. If there's anybody that's in here today and you want a touch from God, you need a healing, you need something from the Lord, just come forward right now. The power of God is strong in this place. And if you have a hunger, let's have some of the men, Moises and Brian, come and stand up here. Thanks, Ray. Father, we thank you for the power of God. For the power of God. We want you to move the way we want you to move. I release the power of God into Samantha right now. I release the power of God into Anna right now. Father God. Oh, she thinks it's about natural healing. But it's about spiritual healing. It's about opening the eyes of the blind to the power and the miracle working power of God, healing and deliverance to many. I release the power of God into Michelle right now. Oh, let that fire that is shut up in her bones break forth in every area of her life. Break forth in every area of her life. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, release the anointing of God into Helene right now. Release the anointing of God. Oh, release the anointing of God. Move, Holy Spirit, the way you do. The way you do. Move, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit. I release the power of God to flow. Flow. flow, flow, like the days of old, to where she can't keep her mouth closed, Lord. But your words and your thoughts and your plans and your purposes come to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Sometimes she seems like she can't see the way, but she's walking in the way that you're leading her. I thank you, Father, for clarity and spiritual understanding and discernment in the days ahead. I release the power of God into Linda right now. I rebuke every sickness. Satan, don't you dare. Don't you dare think that you can put on God's people what he has delivered them from. And we break every curse. We break every generational curse. Any cancer that wants to come against this body, we just command you to shrivel up at the roots in the name of Jesus. I thank you for complete healing and deliverance through her household. Through her household, Lord God. The miracle working power moving from one corner to the next, from the front door to the back. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I release the power of God into Mina right now. In Jesus' name. Kimbraboso, a fresh touch. Fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Stir up the gifts that are within her, Father. Stir up those dreams and visions and spiritual insights. In such a way that she sees and she knows by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And increase. In increase, I release the healing power of God into Tony's body. You said you'll lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. I thank you that Tony is recovering back to completely restored health. Right now, I just release the peace of God, the power of God, that he'll feel it from his fingertips to the top of his toes, Father God. The healing power of God going up and down his back. Up and down his back, driving out all disease. We just claim his life. Long life you will satisfy him. With long life you will satisfy him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's go. I release. Oh, Teresa, you are anointed. You are anointed. Power of God is working in you. In ways that people don't even know. When you pray, mountains move. When you speak, strongholds are broken. And the power of God is increasing in your life. As you've been faithful, says the Lord. You've been faithful with the little, says the Lord. I'm going to make you a ruler over much. A ruler over much, even as a reward for your faithfulness in times of trouble. Even as a reward for standing strong when you could have fallen to the ground. Even as a reward for turning your eyes upon me and not upon man. Thank you, Lord, for an anointing that flows through her. Just three more. Father, I thank you. I release the power of God in Pam in new dimensions. New dimensions. New dimensions. Thank you, Father. Thank you that her physical ears are open. Not just her spiritual ears, but her physical ears and her physical eyes to see and discern and know the will and the plan of the Father in ways that she hasn't even seen yet. Thank you, Father, for an increase of dreams and visions, an increase of your plans and purposes and pursuits for her life. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for these young men. Father, I release the healing power of God to flow in his life. I declare he'll serve the Lord all the days of his life. That he be marked from this day with the Holy Spirit in such a way that he cannot and will not ever turn. He will not ever turn, Father, no matter what goes on around him, he will stand. That he'll grow up to be a giant in the kingdom of God. That he'll grow up to be a mouthpiece in the hand of God. That he'll speak the word of God with boldness and with accompanying signs and wonders, Father. We declare that today. We thank you for a calling upon his life right now. Thank you, Jesus. I release the power of God to flow from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, repairing everything that needs to be repaired, healing everything that needs to be healed. Father, thank you for strength that floods every part of his being. Thank you that he's created exactly the way you've created him to be, Father. I just release the power of God in the days ahead. Thank you that goodness and mercy follow him all the days of his life. And he'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Did I pray for you, Jerry? Stay with me. Just stay. Come on, if it's you. Father, I release the power of God into Jerry right now. Father, we have hearts that are open. And you do what you do. You do how you do it. We thank you for your healing power flowing up and down from the top of his head, down his spine, all the way to his feet and back up. Father God, thank you for the healing power of God. We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. We thank you for doctors, but we believe in miracles. I thank you for doing what they cannot do, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you for a fresh, refreshing of the power of God in his life. In Jesus' name, I release the power of God. Lift your hands up, boy. Lift your hands up. Father, thank you. Thank you that he'll serve you all the days of his life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you mark him, that you protect him, that you cover him, that you surround him, that you lead him, that you guide him. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands up to me. Father, we release the power of God into Timmy. I thank you, Father, for a mighty, mighty man of God right here. Father, I thank you for a heart of faith. I thank you, Father, for a pure heart and a pure mind and a man who has a heart after God. Father, thank you for giving him everything he needs over and above, blessing him beyond his wildest imagination because of his commitment to you, Father. We release your power in his life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We'll leave you for another time. I don't call it a waste of time, do you? If we've got such a schedule that we don't even allow the Holy Spirit to move, then we need to get our thinking straight. We need to get our thinking straight. Amen? Praise God. I'll never have enough of the presence of God. Because let me tell you, you can, no matter what can be coming against you, if you let God move, you'll be free of anxiety, free of fear. You'll have such peace. You don't know how he's going to do it, but you know he is. Said we got to get into the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Steve, Pastor, one more song. We'll do the welcome. I want to welcome you this morning. If you're standing, sit down. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad that you're here today. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you're joining us. Our tweens class is moving out. We've got a whole bunch of young boys. We're so glad. But we're glad that you're in church today. I pray that you get everything that you need from the Lord. As Pastor Steve preaches, he's going to continue preaching on faith today. I believe your faith is going to be strengthened. Somebody said to me last week as we walked out, she said, I feel so good. I don't know what it is. I feel so good. And I said, your faith has been strengthened. That's why you feel good. Because it makes you feel like a giant, right? I believe that's going to happen today, but welcome to you all. I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service in our church, welcome. We're glad you're here. We'd just like to hand you something where you're sitting. If you're here for the first time, I know Tina and Tom brought their neighbor with them. We're so glad that you're here today. Come on, let's welcome them. Anybody else here for the first time? We're just going to give you a visitor packet, and we ask just Tina knows what to do. Fill out the guest card. Thank you for doing that. As I said, welcome to those that are watching online. We have people that watch from all over the world on Facebook Live. Let us know where you're watching from. Go ahead and share the broadcast today. Remember, you can always go back and watch it again if you think, I forgot what Pastor Steve said, or I want to hear what the Holy Spirit said over me, then go back and watch it. It's available to you. But let us know where you're watching from. And thank you for joining us. And then people watch on YouTube, on Ascend Church Jupiter. Welcome to you as well on our website or on our mobile app. And actually, Pastor Steve was mentioning the mobile app. If you don't have it, it's a great resource. I don't know about you, but I listen to messages in the week. There's a Bible reading plan on there. There's all kinds of resources. So even the Chosen series is on there. So more than 100 messages. So go ahead and use that mobile app. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Just want to remind you of our main purpose of our church is first that you would know God. Second of all, that you would find freedom. Then that you would make it discover your purpose and make a difference with your life. Amen. We're believing for that. Are we going to go into the last song? Okay, one more song.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, sorry, here you go.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Let's just stand up together. We're going to... There's such a strong presence of the Lord here today. Before we get into God's... Before we... Sorry.
That's what my microphone did this morning.
Before we get into God's Word, let's just worship Him one more time with this last song. Let's just lift your hands and lift your voice and enter in to worship. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every time I come running.
Yes.
I find grace on repeat. Welcome me with open arms, no matter where I've been. Every time I surrender,
yes.
Every time I fall, find grace more precious than I did before.
Let's try that one more time. Let's try that one more time. Before we start the next song, I also wanted to have you shout out praise for what took place in this building this morning, for the move of God that happened to us or for us this morning. Somebody shout out praise. Bless you, Lord. Every time I come running, I find grace on repeat. You open me with open arms, no matter where I've been. There we go.
Every time I surrender, every time I fall. I find grace more precious than I had before.
Hey.
So I'm going to lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for all I need. I'm going to sing my up on me. Mercy in midnight, you're the kindness of dawn, my hope in every waking hour.
strength I lean on. Every time it comes the sun down and the night sets in, let my soul remember just how good you've been. And again, my heart will say, I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for all I need. I'm gonna sing my heart out, praise on repeat to the God who's never given up on me. Cause you're the God who's never given up on me.
Morning, day after day will I sing praise upon praise.
God be exalted over and over again.
Come on, sing everyone.
Grace upon grace, morning by morning, day after day will I sing.
Come on.
Praise, praise upon praise. God be exalted over and
over. One more time, everybody.
Grace upon grace. Morning by morning. Day after day. Praise upon praise, God be exalted over and over.
So I'm gonna lay,
so I'm gonna lay my world down here at your feet. Look to the heavens for all I need. I'm gonna sing. Giving up on me. Cause you're the God who's never given up on me.
Come on, church,
grace,
let's sing
grace upon grace. Morning by morning, day after day will I sing
grace
upon praise. God be exalted over and over again. Lift up his name, Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus, the King, is risen. He reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise. Nothing less than my all. I surrender my all to him. Lift up his name, Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus, the King, is risen. He reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all. I surrender my all to him. Lift up his name. Jesus, the light of heaven, worthy of praise. Jesus, the King, is risen. He reigns in grace and power, worthy of praise forevermore. Nothing less than my all.
I surrender
my all.
Come on, I want you to raise your hands across this room.
Yeah.
I surrender my all.
Oh, we surrender.
surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Musicians, quiet down. Hallelujah. Just the church, sing it out.
Sing it out, church. I surrender all to you, Lord.
Whoa, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Seal it with a shout of amen.
Yes,
come
Lord,
on.
We do surrender all to you. We surrender all to you. Lord, we surrender all to you. We give you all praise. You alone are worthy. You alone deserve all glory. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you have redeemed us. We thank you, Lord, as we gather here in the name of Jesus, that you're in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst today. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you touch every life today. Lord, thank you that you anoint your word as spoken today, and you cause faith to rise up big in every heart, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Turn and greet someone next to you. Say hi to them. Tell them how good they look today. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we didn't anticipate that, but the Holy Spirit moving the way he did today. But we're thankful and grateful for the Spirit of God, because he can do more in one moment than you and I do all day long. I'm going to keep try working on this mic, Chester. I don't know if I'm cutting in and out here, but I've tightened it and tweaked it and laid hands in it, did everything I knew how to do. So we'll see how we do. We'll see how we do. Praise God. Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I am ready. Say, I'm ready to receive. God, hand me that mic, please. This is going to keep going in and out, and that's not going to be good. Thank you so much. All righty. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, now, praise the Lord. Today we are going to continue with our series that we've been talking about the last, this is week number three, the power of faith. This is part number three in the power of faith. Last week we started looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to go back to that. I've got a lot I want to share with you. So if you brought your Bible to church today, you can turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verse 1. It's the Bible biblical definition of what faith is. And it says, now faith is, see, it's telling us what faith is. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. And this verse reveals three major things to me about faith. Number one, faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. If you say, I believe God's going to do this one day, that sounds like faith, but it really isn't, because faith is now. Second thing that I see is that faith gives substance to the things we hope for. Faith gives substance to hope. And the third thing is that faith is the evidence of things that we do not see. And we spoke last week about faith is now, and I would encourage you, if you weren't here the last 2 weeks, you didn't hear the first two parts of this message, I would really encourage you to go and watch it on our app or on our YouTube and catch up. But a lot of times people think that they're operating in faith, you know, by saying, I believe God's going to do this, but Hope always looks to the future. Faith is now. Faith believes that it receives from God now. That's what Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatever things that you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So that tells me that I've got to believe that I receive what I'm asking God for at the time that I pray. And if I believe that I receive it now, then I shall have it. But a lot of times people are waiting to get to the shall have it, and then they want to believe that they receive it. You have to believe what you've received, what you can't see. Secondly, faith gives substance to hope. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. And the New English translation says faith gives substance. I like that. Faith is what gives substance to our hopes. And the Passion Bible says faith brings our hopes into reality. Faith grasps onto the unrealities of hope and brings them into the realm of reality. Because hope doesn't have any substance. But faith is what gives substance to the things you hope for. And it grasps the unrealities of hopes and brings them into this realm of reality. And too often when it comes to receiving from God, many people are just hoping that they will receive. But as I think I said to you, hope's like a dream. It doesn't have any reality. Have you ever had a dream while you were sleeping? Maybe you dreamt you won the lotto. That's a sweet dream to have. But you wake up and you didn't win the lotto. When you woke up, the dream was gone. It had no reality. It wasn't real. That's what hope is like. It doesn't have any reality. It doesn't have any substance. My faith is what gives reality to the things that I hope for. In fact, in the English Revised Version of Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, faith is what makes real the things that we hope for. Say, my faith makes my hopes real. Now, you need hope. You got to start out with hope. But if you don't know how to add your faith to your hope, then your hope, like a dream, will never be a reality. Sometimes people say, I say, how are you doing? I'm just hoping and praying. Or all we can do is hope and pray. That doesn't have any substance to it. It'll never become a reality. If you're hoping for something to happen, you're not moving in faith. Hope's a great goal setter, but faith goes and gets the goal. Hope's a good waiter, but a poor receiver. Faith believes God's word and acts upon it. Faith believes that it receives now. Unbelief is taking sides against God's word. Anytime that we disagree with what God's word says, that's operating in unbelief. And the sad thing is that there are so many believers who take sides against the word of God. In other words, God's word says one thing about them, but they say something different. And they wonder why the word of God doesn't work for them. If you want God's word to work for you, you've got to agree with what it says and do what it says. Now, faith is not hope, and hope is not faith. Often when people come for prayer, I'll ask them, what do you want God to do for you? And then they'll tell me, and then I'll pray, and then I'll say, now, do you believe that you've received it? And they'll say, well, I sure hope so, Pastor Steve. I sure hope I will. You don't receive from God through hope. You receive from God through faith. Sometimes they say, well, I really want him to, Pastor Steve. Well, you may want a Cadillac, but that doesn't mean you're going to get one. Just wanting doesn't get the job done. If wanting something from God did it, we'd all have what we wanted. We'd receive instantly. But it isn't hoping and it isn't wanting that moves God. It is faith that moves God to move in your life. Amen. Faith that receives. You won't receive from God just because you hope. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, when you pray, you shall receive what you hope for. No, Jesus said,
I tell you, you can pray for anything. Tell your neighbor, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. There's the condition. If you believe that you receive what you ask from God, it will be yours. So if you want to know whether you're operating in faith or hope, hope always looks to the future. Faith always believes it has it now. I believe God's doing it now. We must have hope. We must. God wants us to have dreams. Because if you don't have hope, you don't have anything for your faith to give substance to. But hope by itself will not receive from God. Imagine that you were talking to someone and you were trying to lead them to salvation. You wanted them to get saved. The other day, I think it was yesterday, right? We had Brady over, our grandson. He's 8. And we were talking about our pastor, Pastor Theo. We were just talking about him, you know, because he was kind of crazy and wild before he received the Lord. He owned discotheques and he was just, you know, I can't even tell you all the stuff that he did. He's a new man today. So I was talking about it and I said, and then Pastor Theo got saved. And Brady is like, what's that mean? What's that mean, be saved? Well, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Saved from hell. Saved from death. Saved from sickness. It's the word sozo. It means completely redeemed. Amen? And imagine you wanted to help get somebody saved. You wanted to lead them to Christ. And they said to you, I really hope to be saved. I really hope. If you said to them now, you know, you told them what to do, and then they did it. They received the Lord, like I just told you in Romans 10. And then you said, now, do you believe you're saved? You're going to heaven? And they said, well, I sure hope so. What would you tell them? You would tell them, no, listen, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You would tell them what God's word said, and you would encourage them to believe that they're saved based upon what the word of God says. Is that right? It doesn't matter how they feel about it. They say, well, I don't feel like I'm saved. It doesn't matter how you feel. This is what God's word says. Is that right? You try to get them to act in faith right there and then. And if they receive the Lord and they confess him as Lord, you would tell them that they are saved. Doesn't matter how they feel about it. Would you agree with me? Now, why is it that we can believe God for the greatest thing in the world, that is our salvation? To be saved, to be born again, to be a child of God, to go to heaven. We believe all of that without seeing a thing. Anyone here seen heaven? Anyone here seen Jesus? I haven't. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. But why is it we can believe for that, but then that's where we stop? Then we can't believe anything else we can't see. When it comes to receiving healing from God, or an answer to prayer, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Often, people don't act in faith. They hope that God answers their prayer. They hope to be healed. They hope to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope to get it sometime, Pastor Steve. I hope that it'll happen for me sometime. Some people are always believing God's going to do something, but faith believes he has done it, and he is doing it right now. Someone says, well, I don't understand, Pastor Steve. I don't understand. Why haven't I received my healing? I know God promised to heal me. Do you know that God actually, he has not promised to heal you? The word of God says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, by his wounds you have been healed. That's a fact. That's not a promise. That's a fact. That tells me something's already happened. It tells me something already belongs to me. And as soon as you get people to stop hoping and start exercising faith, that's when they receive. And faith agrees with God. Doesn't matter what our senses may tell us. Faith agrees with what God says. People say, well, Pastor Steve, I know the word of God says, by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. I know that. But can you tell me why I can't get healed? Yes, I can. Because you just said it. You just said it can't. That's why you can't. Faith gives substance to my hope. Number three, faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. The Passion Bible said, it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Now listen, faith has got to do with what you can't see. If you can see it, you don't need faith. Right? Now, when I use the word see, how many of you know that we have five senses and your eyesight is one of them? But you've got four other senses. You've got your hearing, feeling, smelling, and tasting, five senses. And when the Bible talks about faith is the evidence of what is not seen, it's not just limited to your eyes. Faith is the evidence of what you can't hear. Faith is the evidence of what you can't feel. Faith is the evidence of what you can't smell. All your senses. So by the word see, I actually am referring to sensory perception, not just visual perception. Are you with me? Faith is the evidence of things that are not perceived by your five physical senses. You can't operate in faith and look and depend on what your senses are telling you. So in order to walk by faith and live by faith and please God by faith and receive from Him by faith, you have to be willing to ignore what your senses are telling you. Now, if you can get what I'm telling you today, it will change your life forever as far as it comes to faith. Are you with me? Because your faith is in what God's Word says. Faith operates in the unseen realm. If I held up my watch in plain view, how much faith do you need to see my watch? None, because you can see it. But if I put my hand behind my back and I say, I have a watch on, now faith's involved because you can't see it. You have to trust what I'm telling you. You've got nothing to go on other than my word. You can either believe me or you can disbelieve me. That's where faith comes in. Now, that's how it is with God. See, faith is your evidence of things that you don't see. And what is evidence? It's proof. It's that which validates the existence of something that you don't presently have and you can't presently see. That's what proof is. Because if you had it, you wouldn't need any proof of it. Proof takes the place of what it is the proof of until the thing arrives on the scene. Once it arrives on the scene, you don't need proof anymore. Are you with me? Does anybody here have any children? Or wave your hand if you've got children. Wave your hand if you've got grandchildren. You've graduated to the next level. Well, listen, are they with you today? How many of you, they're not with you today? They're not with you. Okay. Do you have a picture of them on your phone? Do you have a picture? So what is that picture? It's evidence that they exist. Right? So if you say, hey, I've got six grandchildren, prove it. Here's the picture. There's no evidence. Now, when they arrive, you don't need evidence anymore. They're there. You can see them. Are you with me? The picture is the evidence or the proof of the existence. When the child arrives, you don't need evidence anymore. So evidence is just temporary until such time as what is the evidence of arrives on the scene. Another way you could say it is faith is your title deed, that you own it. That's what it says in the Amplified Version of Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, faith is the title deed of the things we hope for. It is being the proof of the things we do not see. And the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Isn't that powerful? A title deed is the evidence that something belongs to you. Faith is the evidence that something belongs to you. It's not perceived by your senses. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't hear it. But your faith is the evidence that you have it. Are you with me? That means if I'm going to walk by faith, I have to be willing to ignore what my senses are telling me. The more you can get out of the realm of the senses, the more you can get into the realm of faith. Really, the senses keeps us a lot out of operating in faith. Because faith isn't moved by what it sees. Faith isn't moved by what it feels. Faith isn't moved by what it hears. Faith is only moved by what it believes, and faith believes God's word. That's what I base my faith on, is if God's word says it, I believe it. Doesn't matter if I can see it. Doesn't matter if it's a reality in my life. I believe what God's word said is true in my life. Now, this is a foreign experience for us as human beings because everything that we know, we learned through our five senses. But you can't rely on your five senses if you want to walk by faith. Because sometimes what your senses are telling you one thing, and the word of God is telling you another thing. And faith is when you trust God's word in spite of what your senses may be telling you. Now, pilots that want to learn to fly at nighttime or in bad weather, they have to become instrument rated. Now, Barry would know this. His son is a pilot. And you're a pilot too, right? So to become instrument rated, you have to learn not to rely on your senses, but to rely on your instruments. And so they train pilots in a simulator where they learn to fly and trust the instruments. They have to look to and depend upon an altimeter, airspeed indicator, and a horizon line. That's what they look at to trust where they're flying. And very often, pilots can crash the first time in the simulator test because they're so accustomed to depending on their senses to fly that they have to learn to trust in their instruments because your senses can deceive you. You could be flying and think you're going one direction, and meanwhile you're not. You have to trust those instruments. Is that correct, Barry? So now, if you're going to live by faith, if you're going to receive from God by faith, you can't depend on what your physical senses are telling you. That's why the scripture says we walk by faith, not by sight. You could say it like this. We walk by faith and not by what is perceived by our senses. Now, Abraham is called the father of our faith because he was strong in faith and he walked by faith. And he the Bible says he did not consider what his senses told him. In Romans 4:17, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls things that do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. The Passion Bible says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and he expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. Verse 19, here's a key, verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. You know what that tells me? If you live your life as a believer, considering what your body tells you, you'll be weak in faith. If you want to be strong in faith, you cannot consider what the circumstances look like, what your eyes see, what you feel like. Amen? The Bible says he did not consider his own body. Already dead since he was about 100 years old. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was unable to conceive. The Passion Bible says, the Passion Translation says, in spite of being nearly 100 years old, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. Do you know that when you walk in faith, you don't let the facts stop you? In verse 20, it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. The Bible says Abraham was strong in faith. The reason he was is because he didn't consider what his own body, what his five physical senses were telling him. He didn't let what he saw or what he felt or even the facts to stop his faith. He just believed if God said it, God is able to do it. Are you with me? He believed God's word instead of what his own senses. He looked in the mirror and he is almost 100 and he looks at his wife and he's like... His senses would tell him, there's no way it can happen. But he disregarded that. He didn't consider it. See, if you're going to be strong in faith, if you want to see supernatural things happen in your life, you can't believe your senses over the word of God. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, we do not look at the things that are seen. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary. That means they can change. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That means they can never change. Now, this is where a lot of people miss it. Because many people, they want to see it and they want to feel it before they will believe it and confess it. And again, the word seen here is not just talking about visual perception. It's talking about sensory perception, all five senses. So let's read it like that. We do not look at the things which are perceived by our senses, but at the things which are not perceived by our senses. For the things which are perceived by our senses are temporary, subject to change. But the things which are not perceived by our senses are eternal. Now, this is where some people get confused about faith, because they think what we're saying is that you've got to deny the existence of a problem. You've got to deny what you're seeing with your eyes. They think faith is saying, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not sick, I'm not poor, I don't have any pain. No, that's not what I'm saying. Faith does not deny the existence of a problem. It just doesn't look at it. It just doesn't focus on it. It doesn't just doesn't keep talking about it all the time. We consider not the things perceived by our senses. Faith keeps looking at what God's word says. Faith believes and confesses and acts on what God's word says. And that's what moves God to act in my life. It's what brings God's promises, makes them a reality in my life. It's what causes the things which I see to change. Faith changes those things. That means if the Bible says don't look at the things which you can see, that means that the problem must exist. Otherwise, why would the Bible say don't look at it? The problem's there. But my faith doesn't allow it to dictate the terms of my existence. If I'm not going to consider the things perceived by my senses, what must I do? I must ignore them. How do I do that? The same way you do in the natural, the same way you ignore a phone call that you don't want to answer. I don't think I'll answer that. I'll call them back. That's what we do with things that are perceived by our senses. We act like they're not there. We just ignore them. We keep on looking at what God's word says, because God cannot lie. The Bible says in Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, in which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God cannot lie. Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Jeremiah 1 verse 12. Then said the Lord to me, I am alert and I am active, watching over my word to perform it. Do you know that God is watching over his word to perform it? That when you step up and you say, I'm going to believe the word of God, I know it doesn't, what my eyes tell me is different, what my body telling me is different, but I'm not going to consider what my senses are telling me. I'm going to believe the word of God. When you do that, family, God watches over his word to perform it in your life. He's not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. But can I tell you, the enemy's a liar. He's called the father of liars. And the enemy will lie to you. Your circumstances will lie to you. To be strong in faith that moves God to act, you've got to keep looking at the Word of God and don't consider what your senses are telling you. But many people, they want to feel well, and then they'll believe they're well. Then they'll say, I'm well. But when you walk by faith, you say, man, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I may not look it, I may not feel it, but God's Word says I am, and I believe I am, and I believe that I am healed. I don't believe I'm going to get healed. I believe I am healed. Amen. Now, sometimes the enemy tries to come and put sickness on me, and I say, no, 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 no. I'm healed, and I resist that sickness. You call things that be not as though they are. You ignore what you see, and you look at what is unseen. What is it that is unseen that I must look at? 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you were healed. That's a fact. That's what I'm going to look at. Philippians 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That may be unseen. That's what I'm looking at. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. You will lend and not need to borrow. That's what I'm looking at. I'm declaring right now I'm debt free. I declare I am debt free. Is it a fact at the moment? It's not a fact right now, but it's going to be soon. I'm declaring it. Lord, you don't want me to borrow. You don't want me in debt. You want me debt free. He said you will lend and not borrow. He said don't owe any man anything except to love him. So I say, Lord, you, that means you want me debt free. You want this church debt free. So you know what? Every day I say, Lord, thank you for giving me $3 million to pay the mortgage on this church. And thank you that I am personally debt free of that. I'm declaring it before I've seen it. How about Philippians 4, verse 13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm looking at that. Even though you may not feel healed, it may not look like all your needs are met. You may not be debt free. It may not seem like you can do all things, but if you will look at what God says, and if you will believe what God says, and if you will confess what God says, then the things which God says, which you can see right now, while I am confessing it, instead of considering what the circumstances tell me, the things that are perceived by my senses, my faith is working, and my faith is changing that which is seen and that which is temporary into that which is not seen. How do you look at something that's not seen? With the eye of faith, through the Word of God. That's why God's Word is so important. Because if you don't have the Word, you can't have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The reason why most Christians look at and are moved by what they see and what they feel, and that's what they talk about, is because they don't know what God's Word says. That's the reason why most Christians are looking and they live their life by what they see, what they feel. Oh, things are bad. Things are terrible. The economy is bad. Oh, I feel so sick. Oh, COVID, I'm probably going to die. Because you're looking at what you can see instead of looking at what God's Word says. Faith and the Word of God are synonymous. Because faith comes from God's Word. When you get the Word of God, you get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just like the wet goes with the water. You can't go into a restaurant and say, I'll take a glass of water, hold the wet. You get the water, you get the wet. When you get the Word, you get faith. So you could say, for we walk by the Word and not by our senses. You could say it's the same thing. Faith is acting. It's walking by the Word of God, not by our senses. Faith's confessing what God's Word says. Doesn't matter what our senses tell us. I mean, you could read Hebrews 11, 1 the same way. Now the Word of God is the substance of things hoped for. And the Word of God is the evidence of things not seen. And the Word of God is the title deed of what belongs to me. That's why you got to know what God's Word says. Because it's my proof. It's my evidence. Why do I believe I'm healed? Because I feel healed? No, because God said it in his Word, and he cannot lie. So if God says by his stripes you were healed, then I'm healed. Someone said, but I don't feel healed. I still feel sick. But faith is the evidence, not how you feel. Faith's the evidence of things not seen. Then the thing, though you can't see it, it must exist. If my faith is the evidence of things that are not seen, how can you have proof of something that doesn't exist? That means it must exist. There are things that exist that are outside this physical realm, and my faith becomes the evidence of them until they are manifested in this physical realm. Are you still with me? Therefore, there must be another world, a world that's beyond this physical world, a world that can only be contacted by faith. And there is. It's called the realm of God. It's called the spiritual realm. And let me tell you, it's more real than this physical realm. And the only way that you can contact that spiritual realm is by faith, because God is a spirit. And faith is the sensory mechanism of your recreated human spirit. And it enables you to contact God in the spirit realm. Are you with me? So in order to walk by faith, you've got to disengage yourself from your senses and realize that things exist in two realms. Everything that is seen in this physical world, it first existed in the unseen spiritual realm. This world came out of the spiritual world. Are you with me? God tells us, don't look at the things that you see in the physical realm, but rather look at the things that are unseen in that spiritual realm. In the Old Testament, and let me wrap this up. In the Old Testament, the king of Syria was making war against Israel. But the prophet Elisha kept on warning the king of Israel every time the king of Syria sent his army. Elisha would warn the king of Israel, and they would know where the enemy's coming from. And so the king of Syria thought he must have a traitor. Someone's betraying me. Then one of his officers said, no, it's not none of us. The prophet Elisha tells the king of Israel everything you say. So the king of Syria sent a great army, the Bible says, with horses and chariots to go capture this Elisha. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, it says, when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? What are we going to do? Look at it. There's an army around us. And Elisha said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them. Can you imagine Elisha's servant? He said, what are you talking about? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, one, two. How's there more with us than there are with them? So Elisha prayed, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The army of God, the angels of God with chariots of fire was surrounding Elisha. And that's why he said, there's more with us. You just can't see it with these eyes. He was talking about open his eyes, open his spiritual eyes. Because you see, Elisha wasn't looking at the things that were perceived by his senses. Don't you realize when that young man's eyes, his spiritual eyes were open, that's not when the horses and chariots appeared. They were there the whole time, even though he couldn't see them. See, you can't see it right now, but there's angels in this room. There's angels all around this room right now. I sometimes feel them go by me. The angels are here to protect you, and they're here to serve you. They're here to fight for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, what role do the angels have? The angels are spirit messengers sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. That's me. I've got angels around me. Do you know you've got angels around you protecting you? The angels are here to help you. But you've got to operate in faith. You've got to call them into battle for you. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see into that spiritual world through faith. Let me tell you, everything that God says in His Word is already out there in the spiritual realm. God's Word is an inventory of the things that exist in the spiritual realm. And our faith is what brings them into the physical realm. Can I tell you, everything that you will ever need and everything that you will ever desire already exists in the spiritual realm. How do I know that? Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The Passion Bible says every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished on us. Now maybe you say, well, Pastor Steve, how does it help me, every spiritual blessing? Because everything in this physical world came out of that spiritual world. You may say, well, I'm in the physical world. I need a new set of tires. But I mean, how's this going to help me? I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. Because everything in this physical world first came out of the spiritual realm. Because God is the one who created it, and He's a spirit. This physical world would not exist without the spiritual world. So that means the spiritual world must be more real than this physical world that was created by that spiritual realm. Because it does not take the creation to sustain the creator, but it does take the creator to hold together the creation. And the scripture says, and I'm going to close with this, Colossians 1:16. Christ Himself is the Creator who made everything in heaven and on earth, the things we can see and the things that we can't. The spirit world with kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities were all made by Christ for His own use and glory. He was before everything began, and it is His power that holds everything together. Now, a lot of people talk about climate change. It's almost like a religion. Let me tell you, climate change is a religion. Because they believe things you can't even prove. I'm all in favor of protecting the environment. But can I tell you something? Don't ever forget that God is holding it all together. God is holding it all together. I'm not going to live in fear. God's holding it all together. Amen. Everything that you will ever need or desire already exists in the spiritual realm. Your faith is what brings it from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. Your faith is what gives substance to what you hope for. And the Word of God is an inventory of the things that exist in the spiritual realm that belong to you. And faith looks at that. But you will never see those things become real in your life unless you learn how to see it by faith. Because our faith gives substance to the things that we hope for. It is our believing and confessing and acting in faith that brings it into manifestation in the spiritual realm. Amen. Say this with me. Declare this with me. Say, I have the God kind of mountain-moving faith on the inside of me. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to grow my faith by hearing God's word, by using my faith. I'm going to please God with my faith. Say, my faith is bringing me victories. I'm going to use my faith to trust God for the impossible. Say, faith is now. If it's not now, then it's not faith. Say, faith is giving substance to what I hope for. Faith is the evidence of things that are not perceived by my senses. Say, in order to walk by faith, I have to leave the realm of the senses. Say this out with me. Say, I must ignore anything that disagrees with the word of God. I must call things that be not as though they are. To walk by faith, I must walk by the word of God, because it is synonymous with faith. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, everything that I need, and everything that I desire. The word of God tells me it's available. I must see those things with the eye of faith. Through faith, I bring those blessings from the spiritual world into the physical world. Say, my faith is giving substance to the things I hope for. Say, my faith is making my hopes a reality. My faith is moving God to act on my behalf. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise God. Lord, we want to just thank you today. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Lord, that you're not a man that you should lie. We want to thank you that everything you said is true. And everything you said, Lord, you watch over your word to perform it. I thank you, Father, for helping us and teaching us to live by faith and walk by faith and trust you, Father. I thank you that our faith is growing, Lord, that we are walking by faith and believing your word in the name of Jesus. While you have your head bowed, while your eyes are closed, before we close today, I want to just give an opportunity right now. I want to pray for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord today, then I want to pray for you. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news today, you can walk out of here and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every mistake, every sin that you ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, yes, Pastor Steve, include me, pray for me. I want to be sure. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that everything is right between me and the Lord. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer, quickly, just lift your hand up now. Just lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer. Praise God. Thank you. I saw a couple of hands be raised, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you to say this prayer with me. The scripture says in Romans 10, verse 9, you heard me quote it, if you believe in your heart that God, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's do that right now. Everybody, say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth just for me. Lord, I believe Jesus is alive, and I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord, and I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Say, thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Give the Lord some praise here today.
Just stay up here for a minute and maybe like, where's Bronson? Is he somewhere? Or Abel, just come on up here as soon as we're going to need you. Anyway, I just want to use you for an illustration, if you don't mind. That was some good preaching, amen. I feel that story of reaching in, of opening his spiritual eyes and seeing what's actually out there, man, that'll change your life, right? But family, right now is a time where we're going to receive the offering. We're going to give you an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God.
I'd like to say it this way. We're going to give you an opportunity to raise your income.
I'll take that opportunity. So if you're watching online, you can give real simple. There's various ways you can give, but I always like to read a scripture. And Jesus actually was talking to the people, and he talked about money. He had no problem. People are like, don't talk about money in church. Jesus had no problem because it's a part of our lives. Amen? And so I'm going to read from Matthew 6. Jesus said this. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then Jesus goes on. So if you read Matthew 6, that's the big, famous part of that sermon is where he says, don't worry about your life. He's like, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what am I going to wear. Don't worry about where's the money going to come from. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers. He's like, the birds don't toil. They don't gather into barns. And yet my Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you? So that Jesus is teaching them about money. And then he says this in Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So sometimes we get that wrong because we're so focused on all these things, right? And that's what he was really teaching them about. So Abel is all these things. Abel's all these things. I'll give you a little illustration. And don't get a big head, but you God. Don't take it personally, but and don't act like it at home. And I'm me. So now, if I am, he's all these things, and he's God, and this is me, and if I have my focus on all the things I need, so now I'm thinking about what am I going to wear? How am I going to pay my bills? Inflation, you know, what if I lose my job? And I'm focused on all these things, then where's God in all of it? He's back there. My eyes are not, Jesus is giving them an illustration is the way he always taught. So if I'm looking and I'm saying, I better hold on to everything I've got. He says, the birds don't store into barns and gather and sow and reap. They carefree because they know my Father takes care of them. If I'm thinking, I better hang on to this because if I give, if I tithe, if I do, I may not have enough. So they focused on all the things they need and they worried about what they need. But if you turn it around, and Jesus says in the last verse, come closer, God. Turn around. So now, put your hand on my shoulder, Abel. So if I turn my focus, and I focus on God, and I start seeking first the kingdom of God. Yeah, well, anyway. And I think about what's good for the kingdom of God. And how can I build the kingdom of God? And how can I follow the Lord closer? And what does he want to see done? And what is he going to do? Where are all the things that I need to be added to me? They're following me. He says, if you seek after me, all these things will be added to you. Amen? There's an illustration for you. So we get it. So I want to encourage you with that. Don't look at what you need. Look at trust in God. Amen. So let's go ahead and get ready to give. Thank you for our faithful tithers and givers. They're people that give reoccurring giving every week, and that is such a blessing to the church because without fail, even if they travel, if they away for any reason, thank God they just tithe, and the church is blessed by it. So we thank you for that. You can go ahead and...
Oh, the battery winner. Let me just mention, it's interesting that you called on Abel to... it's interesting you called on Abel for that illustration, because I want to tell you something you don't know about Abel. Abel gives 25% of his income every single month. Nobody asked him to do that. That's what he chose to do. 25% every single month. Is that true? So I pray that blessings come chasing after you above and beyond what you can even ask or think. Imagine if all of us here gave 25% of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, if everyone gave 10%, they're all tithers, that would be good. So praise the Lord. Are you done now? You want to pray?
No.
You finished?
Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, come stand here with me. Let me just say this to you. Is everyone ready to give?
Amen.
Did they already pass the offering baskets? Go ahead and pass them out. While you're doing that, well, let's pray over it. Father, we thank you right now for we thank you, Lord, for the every giver. We thank you, Lord, that you open the windows of heaven above every tither. We thank you, Lord, as we seek your kingdom, that blessings come chasing after us, that we don't have to worry what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. As we seek you first, thank you, Lord, that everything we need is added to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to say that next Sunday is our 40th wedding anniversary. Next Sunday is our 40th wedding anniversary. I thought that would have got a bigger round of applause, but anyway. How many people here have been married 40 years? Can I see all the 40 years? If you've been married 40 years, hold your hand up. How many? Let's see. How many? So that's why I thought we would have a bigger clap. You married 40? How long are you married, Louis? 42 years. And John? 67 years, John. Praise God. Well, listen. To the same woman, John. So now listen, because everyone, we've got to go. So next year is our anniversary. Next week, next Sunday. And we are going to be in South Africa. I've been asked, Pastor Theo, that's our pastor, called me and asked me to come and preach at their conference, which starts today. So we're going to be flying out tonight, and I'm preaching this week. I'm going to be preaching 8 different times in a 2-week period. So when I come back and you say, how was your vacation? I just want to remind you that I'm preaching 8 times.
You can ask me how my vacation was.
So we will, next Sunday, we have evangelist Mike Francine is going to be ministering. And show me that. Have you got the crowd pic of Mike Francine? Did you find it? Did you couldn't find it? All right. Well, Mike Francine, I can just such an amazing things he's done for the kingdom of God. I mean, he has preached 400 international mass crusades in 104 nations with crowds of up to 400,000 people. There's the crowd. With 13 million people receiving Jesus into their life. He's written 38 books. He's been in ministry 42 years. And so anyway, he's going to be here next Sunday. I want to encourage you to be here. I want to encourage, listen, folks, this isn't our church. This is our church. Mike was just in Ukraine. He's going to tell you about that. He's going back to Ukraine. They took in medical supplies and food, and he went preaching in Ukraine. He did Poland, but he went into Ukraine also. And now he's going to be going back. So he's going to be here next Sunday. Thank you for supporting him. Then the following Sunday, we'll be gone 2 weeks, is my son Luke Barry is going to come and preach on the 16th. So there we go. So thank you for being here, supporting the church. Listen, man, when we're not here, it is even more than normal when I need you to be here, and I need you to be here early because we have new guests come in, and I'm not going to be here. So step up next week. Please get a church on time. I don't want Mike to walk in and whoa, because most of you all came in after we started. So I encourage you. Thank you for supporting us. We will be praying for you. I hope you'll be praying for us. Amen. And then lastly, I want to say before we go home, and that is that we are doing a Christian growth seminar starting on November the 1st. Now, Nick, I really want you to be here. I want to encourage you, and Blake, if you can, and Cynthia. This is a Bible class that I teach that runs 4 Tuesday nights. It is really a life-changing class. I have had so many people tell me, Pastor Steve, I can't tell you, and I'm not exaggerating, how many people told me that they learned more in the 4 nights of the Christian Growth Seminar than they learned their entire Christian life.
So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done it. How many of you have done the Christian Growth Seminar? Wave at me. How many of you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar? You wave at me. I want to ask you to be here. Now, do me a favor, Lynn. On my seat is a green card. Grab that card. Hold it up. There's a card like that in the seat front where you're sitting called Growth. Fill in the card, register. It's a free class starting November the 1st. That's a Tuesday night. Amen? We have youth meeting tonight, Ascend Youth at 5 o'clock, and then we have a parent meeting on October 2nd at 7 p.m. Oh, is that tonight? I'm sorry. So it's after youth. The youth's at 5, the parent meeting's at 7. Wonderful. Prayer meeting this week, Thursday night. The last time we had prayer, do you remember? Gosh, the presence of God was so strong. Stand up with me. Father, thank you today. As we go home, we know your angels are about us, protecting us. We may not see them, but we know they're there. We thank you, Lord, that you guide us this week. I pray, Father, that every one of us this week will reach out to someone, let our light shine, invite someone to come to church, Lord. I know, Jesus, that you are waiting. You're giving people chance to be saved. Lord, thank you for using us to reach lost people. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. See you next Sunday. See you next Sunday.